prayed for him, Garrus, as for you. I was taught in Finpaneer that some brave deeds so delight the High Lord that he calls the warrior at once to his service, as a reward. So I think it was for Ascariel.
I see.
Garrus pushed himself up on his elbows, rolled to one side, and took his mug of sib. After several swallows, he looked back at her.
Will you tell us yet where we're going?
Pox thought about it. She had not told them at Eliam's, where someone less wise than Eliam might overhear and mention that name carelessly. And in the woods that day she had felt unsure, aware that the woods might hide enemies. But now, with those attackers dead, now surely she could tell them. She nodded. I will tell you all before we go on. She turned to see Leith and Surya both watching from the entrance. Come in, both of you. You might as well hear it all at once. Surya stayed where she could watch outside. Leith squatted near Pox. We have a space of safety, I believe. Those attackers are dead, and our enemies have nothing else close to us. So now I will tell you the prince's name, and where we must go. But that name must not be mentioned aloud, not even in the deep woods. Such evil as assailed us has the great forest Teig under attack as well. It is broken into many Teigen, and in places the fabric is threadbare. We cannot count on the forest to ward us. Enemies can get through, have gotten through, and the little creatures, if no other, may spy on us and pass along our words to each other. More than that, we shall not ride in forest forever. We must pass among the towns of men. There the many agents of evil will have their chance. I have some protection. Nothing evil can change my mind or master my tongue, and you share that protection when you are with me. But you must not say the name aloud, or leave my protection once you know it. Do you understand? I will stay with you, Leith said quickly. And I, said Surya. They both looked at Garrus.
Oh, I'll stay.
He shook his head, then grinned at Pox.
Fox arm. I might as well. How could I ride home alone and miss the rest of this tale? But I feel as I did the night Kiri started us over the Hockenarsk Pass. It's a cold road ahead, and no sure fires, it seems to me.
It is indeed, said Pox. I am honored that you choose to come. Alone I would not have much chance on this quest, and I think it worthy enough to cost all our lives if that becomes the choice. She took a deep breath and glanced from one grave face to another. Now. They started off again at an easy pace after noon, having built a mound of rocks over Ascariel's body. Pox had found a good way down to the lower ground, and none of the horses had trouble with the snow-covered rocks. Garrus, though pale, insisted he could ride and was able to saddle his own mount. Leith and Surya rode the greys, who were unharmed, and the injured animals carried their light packs. Day after day, they traveled the snowy woods, a journey that seemed to Pox later a strange interlude of peace, despite the dangers and discomforts of such travel in winter. Hour after hour they rode unspeaking, only the crunch of the horses' hooves in snow and the creak of leather breaking the forest silence. Behind and around them, cold stillness lay untouched. The patterns of branches and twigs, the colors of snow and ice, seemed to sink deep into her mind. The only warmth was the blazing fire that the squires kindled every night. The only warm colors were the things they carried. That small company, closer with each evening's campfire talk, it was a return to the close-knit companionship she had valued so much as a